Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Saxton Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, sometimes 6:30, sometimes 8, sometimes 9:30, sometimes 10 or 11, but we always get at the facts and the truth in this show. We do not mince words. This is not a politically correct show. It's a politically incorrect show. And now, what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about tonight. It's a Christian topic. I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I've functioned as a Lutheran pastor in the past. And this show is very concerned with Christian truth and Christian thinking. And what I want to do talk about tonight is I talked about yesterday about creation, and tonight I'm going to talk about fall. So, and they kind of go together, and I will talk about creation and fall. And I've given you several times, Lady and Dad, a bit of my background. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. And I have written 4 more books in process, Christian and legal books. My Christian books are Essays of the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the Parables, and a book on the Psalms. These are all completed books, and other books are in process, which includes the books on the miracles in the Bible, the book on my blogs, my 4 blogs. I'm preparing 4 books based on my blogs, political, philosophical, theological, literary, and I'm preparing a book at some point on the book of Job, an interpretation of the book of Job, and I've written other book chapters, such as Res Gestae, a chapter on evidence and Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've also written an encyclopedia article on New York jurisprudence, New criminal law demands and notices and hearings. And I've written other books, a book on the paternity, a chapter on paternity in New York family law and practice. So I'm not going to go into this anymore. I've also run 2 radio shows, Christian radio shows, and I welcome all people in all faiths because I know that Jesus died and loves for all humanity, every single person that has ever lived. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about a little bit more about creation, but more about fall. So where Genesis parts way from science, the science recounts events and gives an explanation called evolution, with no proof other than fossil remains. Genesis says, yes, life came from sea, but Genesis takes the position, correctly, I think, there was an act of divine intervention for every sequence that gave forth life. That is where Genesis parts way with science. Science comes up with recounts events and offers a hypothetical explanation called evolution, with no proof other than fossil remains, where Genesis says yes and agrees life came from sea, but the difference in Genesis, and it is a correct position, that there was an act of divine intervention for every single day in sequence in the first chapter of Genesis that gave forth life. I can't believe that even though we see life coming from the sea to the earth, and various forms of animal life coming forth, finally men and women, I can't believe that life came from the sea to the earth, and forms of animal life came forth, and finally men and women, and this happened by an accident, with or without a cause. So Genesis, I think, is the better explanation. It wasn't accidental, and there was a cause. And the cause was the act, the mind, and thought of God in Christ. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, is there anything you know of, from a pencil to a corkscrew to Westminster Abbey or any edifice of any kind, any machine, even a table, that has to have had been created at some point. Science says there was a sequence of evolution. Genesis says the same, but gives a different cause of connection, namely, the mind and thought of God created this series of events, and the life that Genesis talks about as being created in each sequence each day was created. That's where Genesis parts way from science, and I think Genesis is closer to the truth, to the scientific truth, than evolution. Science recounts events and offers an explanation called evolution with no proof other than fossil remains. Genesis says, yes, life came from the sea, but there was a divine intervention that produced life. And I can't believe that though we see life coming from the sea to the earth and various forms of animal life coming forth, and finally men and women, I can't believe this happened by accident without some sort of divine intervention and calls. All I know is that anything from a pencil to Westminster Abbey, from a corkscrew to a cathedral, or any edifice of any kind, any machine, even a table, has to have been created at some point. Science says there was a sequence of evolution. Genesis essentially, in the first chapter, says the same, but gives a different cause of connection, namely the mind and thought of God created what came forth in this series of events. And the life that Genesis talks about as being created was created in each day. So let's go on a little bit further in this thinking. And let's take a look at the Earth. The Earth is a pinprick in the cosmos, and life has only been found here. That's a fact. They've been looking for life in other planets and other places day and night, the scientific community. And the only life that has been found is found on Earth. To say that this was an accident begs the question. And I rather believe the Genesis narrative that God created the Earth and all forms of life in it, plants, animals, and fish, and that outside of the Earth are only the heavens that God describes. So the Earth is a pinprick in the cosmos, and life has only been found here, despite scientists looking zealously for life all over the universe. They find it nowhere but here. To say that this was an accident, that life came to be by accident, begs the question. And I rather believe the Genesis narrative that it didn't happen by accident, but it happened by God creating the Earth, nor forms of life on it, plants, animals, and fish. And the key to understanding this problem of the Earth having only life is that outside of the Earth are only the heavens that God describes. And when it says in Genesis, God by the heavens and the earth, he's saying that outside of the earth are only the heavens. Despite far searching by various astronomical devices, no life has been found anywhere in the universe, referred to Genesis as the heaven, but there is no life has been found outside of this pinprick of a place called Earth. Everything else is called correctly in Genesis the heavens. Not only is the Genesis account credible and rational, I find it reasonable and really explaining things and the findings of science in a better, more cogent way. Chapter 2 of Genesis, I'm going to go on chapter 2 of Genesis, continues the creation events and says that God caused rain to fall upon the earth and formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This is the second creation account. It should be noted chapter view of 2 of Genesis that God then states that God planted the Garden of Eden and put man there where he had formed it. So chapter 2 creates the creation of event and states that God caused rain to fall on the earth, and then God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This is the second creation account. It should be noticed, chapter 2 of Genesis then states that God planted a Garden of Eden, and put man there whom he had formed. And out of the ground, God made trees good for food and placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then chapter 2 says that God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and keep it, but commanded that Adam could eat freely of every tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God and Adam, and God said that if Adam did eat of it, he would die. So let's take a look at the second event. Chapter 2 says that God caused rain to fall on the earth. It then says he formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then in chapter 2 it states that God planted, then having made man, planted the Garden of Eden and put man there whom he had formed. And out of the ground God made trees good for food and also placed a tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And chapter 2 says that God took man and put him in the garden to till and keep it, but commanded that Adam could freely eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said that if he did that, he would die. So let's move on to chapter 2 in Genesis, where he says that God formed every out of the ground. God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to man to see what he would call them, and that the man gave names to all the beasts, cattle, and birds. So chapter 2 then states that out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to man to see what he would call them, and that the man gave names to all the beasts, cattle, and birds of the air. Finally, at the end of chapter 2, it states that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, that he took a rib from Adam, and from man made a woman. This is the second Genesis account of creation. And I'm not going to comment on this, but there are two accounts of the creation, chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. And in chapter 2, it says that out of the ground, after having created man, breathing breath in him, that God formed every beast of the field and every bird and brought them to man to see what he would call them, that the man gave names to the beasts and birds and cattle. And then it says at the end of chapter 2 of the second creation account, says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, took a rib from Adam, and made a woman from that rib. This is the second Genesis account of creation. It's not part of this essay or article, other than to say that it differs in many ways from the first chapter. So we've covered tonight the second chapter of creation in Genesis. We talked about the other night, chapter 1 and 2, and this is chapter 2. And tomorrow, I'm going to go into the fall of man in chapter 3 of Genesis. And I will go into this, and it's very important to understand the fall, the significance of the fall, because we have to reach an understanding why there appears to be a great deal of evil and wickedness in the world. And Genesis 3 comes up with an explanation in that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and brought sin and death and wickedness into the world. So that is, we're going to go into that tomorrow, the fall, and I think there was a fall, and it's clearly there's a big problem in our society today with what is apparently seems to be a great deal of evil in the world. It's quite apparent, whether you want to account for it or not. But Genesis accounts for the reality of evil by saying that man fell into sin, and that sin came into the world. I'm going to go into the fall tomorrow. I finished talking about the creation narrative in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. And in chapter 3, I will talk about the fall of man into sin, which was a critical point in cosmic human history. And I will attempt to explain what this fall means and its significance. I will do it tomorrow night. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk to us tonight in chapter explaining the second account of creation in Genesis chapter 2. Having talked about the first account of creation, 7 days in Genesis 1. And as I said before, where the biblical account differs from science is that it is in this that we believe that there was a creative force that made the world as it is. And it's a reality. Things don't happen by accidents. And everything from a corkscrew to a cathedral, to Westminster Abbey to a pencil, or any edifice or machine, has to have been created at some point. Science talks about evolution. Genesis talks about creation. You choose what you want to believe. I believe that things didn't happen by accident, and they're not happening by accident to this day. Good night.